The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of KLAY or those who advertise their products or services on this station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio. I'm your host, Captain Trigg, and I'm happy to be here this Saturday. Fine Saturday. Couple days before Christmas here. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you out there listening. Very excited to be here with you a couple days beforehand and giving you some last-minute ideas at the end of the show today as far as what to get the special captain in your life for Christmas. If you need a couple last-minute shopping ideas, I've got some good ones for you, and some don't even require that you leave the house. So hopefully you'll stay tuned in, and hear me out through the end of the show. As always, I can be reached via my email, which is trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. I always value hearing from my listeners. Let me know what you need to know so that I can get that on the radio as well as on our website and help out other boaters just like you that need a little bit more information about whatever it is that you have going on with your boat. As usual, I also make a couple announcements. One is the boater's education card. We're coming up on 2013. As we near the end of the year, it just keeps going faster and faster. So starting January 1st, 2013, boaters 50 years of age and younger are required to have a Washington State boater's education card if they're going to boat in Washington. So, and more states are adopting this. And if you boat outside of Washington as well as in Washington, most states will honor the card that you have for your state, assuming that you're just visiting their state. So keep that in mind as well. You're not going to get by with the, oh, I'm from Washington thing, or I'm from so-and-so. You definitely need to have your education card. It's a real easy online course as well as some online testing. You mail in your, or anymore you pay with a credit card or online, and then they'll mail you back your boater's education card, and you just keep it in your wallet just like a driver's license. Where I would recommend that you go to check out these courses is the Seattle Boat Show website, and that's just seattleboatshow.com. Upper left-hand corner on their sidebar, you'll see a little driver's license-looking thing, and it says boater's education card. There's a tagline that says get your card. So anyways, click on that. It'll redirect you to the appropriate websites, and you can sign into, there's dozens of courses you can take. They're all about the same price. So I recommend that you get on there, get that taken care of, and then it's out of the way for 2013. While you're on the Seattle Boat Show website, take a look at some of the vendors that are going to be there this year. One of them for sure that's going to be there is GearSmart. And I've talked about them a little bit in the past, and I'll probably throw out another plug for them during the show today just because I think it's a great product. They're going to be there. Check out where they're going to be, which booth they're going to be in, and I'm going to find that information out for you before the boat show as well. So, but while you're on the SeattleBoatShow.com website, check out all the information as far as tickets, how to get them, where to get them. Their dates, which are January 25th through February 3rd of 2013. So they're coming up. We're about a month away now. So put it on your calendar. Make sure that you have a couple days free so that you can get down and do the on the water as well as the downtown show. You'll want to do both. Remember, they have a shuttle that goes back and forth between the two shows, so you only have to pay to park at one, or if you can really work the mass transit thing and you can get easily from your home or wherever you're coming from downtown via the bus or the tram, that might be a good option for you, and then you can just ride the shuttle bus back and forth between the two shows. I recommend also the on the water, the boats afloat show portion of the show doesn't usually go until as late as the indoor show. So I recommend that you get over, see the On the Water show, and get back and do the afternoon and evening in, inside. So anyways, things to keep in mind there. We're also still doing the rename challenge. We're closing in on the end of the year, and we're getting ready to call it quits on our off-season rename challenge. There's still a couple more weeks to submit your ideas for the rename challenge. What we're looking for is something that gives the feel to the boating community that, hey, it's okay to boat year-round. When you say off-season, everybody just thinks, ignore them for this portion of the year. I want something that's really going to keep people energized to continue to boat throughout that off-season time. And for us here in the Washington State Pacific Northwest area, that seems to be almost 8 months out of the year. And that's just a crying shame, because there is a lot of good boating to be done around the Pacific Northwest, even during those 8 months that we normally shut our boats down. And I think that part of the hassle, or part of the reason that we don't bother with boating, is that off-season, quote-unquote off-season name. So we're going to rename the off-season and really get boaters back into the spirit of boating year-round. So in order to submit your ideas, just send them to me via email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. And the great thing is that you're not just going to get to claim the fact that you thought up the name. You're also going to get a pair of boat show tickets on me sent right to your door. And that way you guys can go to the boat show again on my dime and check out some new things for the boat. So anyways, send me your email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com, and submit that idea. The winner will be announced the first Saturday of January, and we're going to try to coin that phrase, whatever we decide it is. So anyways, get those submissions in, and we'll get her going. All right, Christmas ships. Saturday, last Christmas ship evening is tomorrow evening, Sunday evening, the 23rd. And that'll be the kind of the big closure show, which they do every year in Portage Bay as well as around the Gasworks Park area. If you're not planning on going, you may want to plan on going. There's usually a ton of boats out there. It's a great time, and they've got lots of good singers on board. You can check out our website, seattleyachtmanagement.com or viaggiocharter.com. And both of those sites have the 2012 Christmas ships schedule on it. So if you're looking at kind of who's performing as well as the location, you can check that out there. Real quick, I wanted to give a little bit of local recognition. There is a gentleman by the name of Bill Byers who just recently saved a man's life, and I think that deserved a little bit of recognition on my part. Mr. Byers is a security guard there at Elliott Bay Marina, and he keeps an eye during the night shift over there. And while on one of his recent night shifts, he was walking around and heard somebody yelling for help, and was able to run back around and get onto the dock that the person in distress was on, and was able to haul them out of the water. And it sounds like, just from the story I read, it sounds like it was a very close call. I haven't talked to anybody that was involved personally, but just by reading the story, it was a very, very close call. You can read the story on 3sheetsnw.com, or you can also read about it on the local news. So either of those places would be good, but 3sheetsnw.com, it's all boating related, and I like their website as well. So go ahead and get on there. But anyways, so I thought, you know, boy, this is kind of a tough deal. You know, somebody going to get on their boat slips and falls, hits their head. Fortunately, regained consciousness enough to stay afloat and call for help. But this is one of those things that's really scary in the boating industry, because we all know what it's like to walk around on docks, especially now that it's getting to be really cold with that moisture in the air and then a little bit of freezing weather. You end up with a pretty slick situation down on the docks. So I thought, well, we'll talk a little bit about it. So what kind of thoughts are we having here when we hear a story like this? One is that we need to have some sort of escape route. What is our escape route? What happens if you fall off of your boat or slip while getting on your boat? Where could you get out of the water? Many docks now, and I say now, they've always had, but I'm seeing more and more, especially at the newer marinas, they've got a collapsible ladder, and those usually... They usually just have a clip and you pull them down and they slide. It's four rungs that come down into the water, say. Some marinas have, at the end of several of their fingers along the way, will have a ladder that's fixed that's always down into the water. Whatever your marina has, you need to get familiar with, A, where it's located in relation to your boat, as well as what it is, how it works. You definitely want to make sure. One of the issues that was written about in this article was the boat had a boarding ladder, but it was fastened in the up position. So there was no way without being on the boat to let the ladder loose so that it could be dropped into the water. Great point on this is that if you've got a boarding ladder on the back of your boat and you can reach it from the water, but it needs to be unfastened, maybe you put a fastener of some sort down near the water, or you just always leave it unfastened, and that, especially when you're on board or when you're going to be getting on board, you leave it unfastened, and that way, in case you end up in the water, you can reach it from the water and get it to actually assist you. This is a pretty standard thing. We have tools that we can't use because we put them in a situation that makes them more aesthetically pleasing or keeps them out of our way for now. Whatever the reason, it ends up kind of costing us in the long run, and it could have cost this gentleman his life. So, you know, just keep that stuff in mind. As much fun as boating is, there's some really serious hazards that we don't want to really pay attention to, because that takes some of the fun out of the boating, right? So, you know, we just have to, every once in a while, we have to be serious about it and say, listen, this is what needs to be done. And because we're prepared, we can enjoy boating and relax knowing that we have figured out far enough in advance how to help ourselves should we get into a situation. So again, many thanks, I'm sure, from both the victim of this situation and his family, as well as from me and hopefully the rest of you in the boating community, to Bill Byers for helping out and really going the extra mile, doing his job well, and making sure that somebody didn't lose their life prematurely. So good job, Bill, and may you have a happy holidays with your family, just like the family that you helped out there. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break while the getting's good and be back on the other side of a couple minutes of business here on Clay Radio, 1180 AM.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at viaggiocharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom and his restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. Glad to have everybody with me this afternoon and want to remind you that I'm easily reachable there via my email. Excuse me, kind of stumbling along here. Via my email, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. So here we are, the week before Christmas, and I've got to change out batteries. Ugh. I don't know how many of my listeners out there have had to do this job. Many of you are familiar with what a car battery weighs, so if you haven't done boat batteries, you can just double or triple that weight, and that'll kind of get you into the feeling of what has to be done when you change out boat batteries. And they're never located in the best spot, are they? No, we always tuck them back their way. Oh, we don't want to look at those batteries. We don't want them near us. You know, just tuck them back there and hook them up and call it good, right? Ugh. Yeah, well, one of the banes of my existence is changing batteries. And even though we're coming up on Christmas and I've got, you know, sugar plums and everything dancing in my head, I can't make it a good time. It just doesn't happen. So anyways, got a last minute call. Fortunately, we tried starting the boat before it was going to be used, and the batteries, of course, were just deader than doornails. These batteries died of natural causes. Just an old age situation. Batteries only get so much life out of them before they kick the bucket. And these ones had been overused for sure. So, you know, we got nothing to be ashamed of there. But it definitely is frustrating to have to do these things last minute because it's never an easy thing. For starters, you got the scheduling, but you also have to find somebody that will help you out. Unfortunately for my wife, she was the person that I found to help me with these batteries. And the batteries that we were installing happened to be an 8-volt battery, which most of us don't have to deal with regularly because 12 volts gets either a 12 or 24-volt system taken care of. But this particular boat is 32 volts, and so it makes it a little bit tougher. You have to deal with an 8-volt battery, and they weigh roughly 150 pounds apiece. And the one we needed to take four out and put four in. Boy, you know, it's a good time. Again, located down in the belly of the beast, and then a lot of stairs up and a lot of stairs down to get them out of the boat. And boy, it was not a good time. I may have cost myself a marriage or at least a little bit of physical abuse from the wife there. But anyway, we'll see. We'll make it. So. I wanted to use this as kind of a reminder for all of you, all of us, to make sure that we're really doing a good job maintaining our batteries, making sure that there's water in them. If they're a lead acid a flooded battery. If they're gel batteries, then you don't have to worry about that. But we do want to make sure that we're utilizing them correctly, not drawing them down too far before we're charging them back up, making sure that if we're running an inverter charger that we end up with good settings on those so that the charger kicks back on, and not squeezing every last drop out of those batteries before we charge them back up. And that happens a lot with the inverters. Many of them have a shutoff where they'll save your batteries because too many of us have really tried to save having to turn the generator back on. So just make sure that you're really taking care of your batteries, because it's never a fun job. We always want our batteries to last as long as we can, because on top of being a really big hassle to haul in and out of the boat, they're also pretty expensive. And so you really want to make sure you treat those right. Again, we've talked about this in the past, and I just wanted to bring it back up since now it's fresh in my mind and I'm kind of crippled from having to have hauled them in and out. So anyway, just keep all that in mind. Next thing on the agenda here, the freezing weather. Again, we've talked about this the last few weeks. Want to talk about it again, because I'm wandering down these docks and they're pretty slick. So you really got to keep an eye on your boats. This time of year, the freezing weather will really mess things up. You can get frozen pipes, you can freeze an engine block and damage it. There are a lot of problems that come with freezing, and many of us don't want to winterize unless we have to. I'm one of those people. I do not winterize because I want the boat to be used all through the quote-unquote off-season. So when we don't want to winterize, how do we take care of our boats so that we don't end up with these large problems such as freezing pipes and frozen engines? Couple quick, easy tips. One, close the dampers. Many of the air boxes on these boats have dampers on them. If your boat doesn't have a damper, then you can buy a visqueen type material, a cello tape that'll go across the air box openings. And when you do that, that'll keep that airflow from coming in and out of there. Now remember, you're going to have to take those off if you want to use the boat. But they're easy application, they're easy to remove. It's a pretty inexpensive and quick, easy way to help keep all that cold air from rushing in and sitting around your engines, especially when we get the winds like we have been the last couple weeks. So that's an easy way to do it. Use safe heating devices. You don't necessarily have to have a super hot heater going in order to keep your whole entire boat warm. You're using one heater and it's just cooking everything. That's a dangerous way to do things. You're not going to freeze your boat. You're just going to burn it down. That's not a good solution. A solution to one problem shouldn't be burning the thing that you're trying to save. So you can use air dryers. Those are available at your local marine outfitter, whoever that may be. Or you can utilize heaters, but you want to make sure that they're on a low setting so that you aren't ending up with a fire hazard inside the boat, as well as overdrawing power through your shore power cord and creating a potential fire hazard with the plugs there. So use that low slung heater, mount them low or set them low, and put them in an area where things can't fall on top of them so that you can really, really mitigate any fire danger there as well. Even a light. Next thing I got on my list is just a light. If you have an incandescent bulb going on I recommend high voltage and AC fixture, that heat will continue to move air and it's going to radiate some heat off of it as well. So a couple reasons I recommend an AC light fixture. One, if you end up losing shore power during these wind storms, if you get a power outage, you don't draw your 12 volt batteries down. Usually AC lighting also is easier to get a nice incandescent bulb on. So, you know, most of our DC lights are smaller bulbs or, you know, bulbs that are a little more expensive, whereas your AC lights, fairly inexpensive to go down to Home Depot and buy a two-pack of the 60-watt incandescent bulbs. So if you have a 110 lamp in the corner of your salon or something like that, that will help out. So anyway, next thing, not only is it simple, but I love the idea of it. Use your boat. If you're intermittently heating and drying out your boat, it's going to retain that heat for a little while after you leave it. You're going to be making sure that, hey, nothing's looking funky here. You know, you're going to be heating up those engine blocks. And those engines will maintain heat and I should say retain that heat for quite some time. So if you use your boat every weekend or every other weekend, you're going to get quite a bit of warmth out of those engines that radiates throughout the boat as well as stays inside the engines and doesn't allow them to freeze. Love that idea. Using your boat, always key. If you can't use your boat, or even if you do use your boat, put your covers back on. When you get back to the dock after you wash your boat down, put your covers back on right away, even while you're doing the rest of your interior cleanup, because that's going to trap that heat inside. You're not going to lose as much heat out the windows. Indoor covers, something like blinds if you have them, or if you have, you know, even if you can do up a curtain rod and some sheets, if you don't have any interior blinds, that might help. Another great tip is if you have portholes with no covers on them, a towel, just a standard bathroom towel, or if you have rag towels, drape something over the top of those portholes, and that will keep you from losing so much heat out of those. If you hold your hand up against a window, any window in your boat with no cover on it, you will feel the difference. You'll feel the cold air seeping in through that. So make sure that you put covers on. Outdoor covers. Canvas doesn't seem like it's got a lot of insulation properties to it, but it is huge. So make sure that you put any of that on that you can, and that'll help retain that heat. If you have to, you can go with a tarp or the Dr. Shrink Wrap. I know most people don't think that that's a temporary type of cover, but if you build it yourself, you can make it so that it's more of a mooring cover style where you can just take it off and put it back on, and maybe you have a piece of rope that holds it down and on the boat. So you know, make sure you're getting covers on, whatever they may be. Last thing I want to talk about is draining your domestic water lines. Any of your water lines, you really want to have as much water out of them as you can. I don't want you to add any of the antifreeze that they make for potable water unless you're really going to do it right and winterize the boat for good, because it's hard to get out of the system. It doesn't taste very good. It most certainly doesn't smell very good. But if you shut off your pump, drain the pressure tank, and lines, you should be okay as long as you get most or all of that water out. One thing that you want to make sure of if you're going to do that, make sure to turn your hot water heater off. And when I shut that breaker down, if I'm going to shut it off for a reason, I usually put a little tag on it that says something to the effect of, make sure to turn on pressure water prior to turning on the hot water heater. You'll burn out those elements real fast on a hot water tank. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. All right. Where are we at? Oh, we got time for a little bit more here. So next thing, the high tides. Who noticed the high tides or heard about them on the news? Hopefully you noticed them, because that means you were near the water, if not on the water. We had high tides on Monday to the point where they were the highest that have been seen since 1901. That's a pretty good stretch. And there are some pictures. Again, you go to 3sheetsnw.com, and there's some pictures of the Elliott Bay Marina. And, you know, you've got the the gangways that are going down from the docks to the, you know, to the gatehouse, and you can see the tops of the pilings, the breakwater. There's hardly anything left. It just looks like a couple rocks basically sticking up above the waterline. So you can check those pictures out on their website. But what causes the situation? You know, everybody kind of goes, "Whoa, what's going on here? Why are we doing this?" You know, we already have high tides during the winter months, and so we're used to some higher tides, and you know, no big deal. But what's going to cause them to go that crazy, where they're flooding people's property and causing some serious damage? It's a combination of an already high tide or larger tide, combined with the storm surge created by the wind and the low pressure creating a high ocean situation anyways. So it's everything compounding on itself, and bam, all of a sudden we're up to a level where it's, you know, if people drive by and they've got more than their no wake coming out, that's the difference between the crawl space in some houses being flooded and the living room having standing water in it. So that's a pretty scary thing. During these times when we have these high tides, and I don't expect we'll see anything that high in the near future. It took over 100 years for the last one to happen. But if you're in those situations, I've been on the Columbia River when it was flooded to the point where people's houses were underwater. It's very important for you to remember that any damage that you cause is your responsibility. So if you send a wave through somebody's living room that was just hanging on the brink, that you can kind of get in trouble for that. And a lot of times they'll close waterways down when they get that high. But anyway, keep it in mind, because you don't want to cause damage if you don't have to. So just something to think about. All right, we're going to do another break here, do a little bit of business, and come back on the other side of a couple of minutes. You're listening to Boat Talk here on 1180 AM Clay Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at ViaggioCharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera, because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma, and we'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. And you know, Captain Tom and his restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. And I want to remind everybody, as usual, that I'm easily reachable via my email, trigg@seattleyachtmanagement.com. That's TRIG @SeattleYachtManagement.com. I recently misspelled the word management, and I just had another person that was going to send me an email misspell it as well. So keep it in mind that management, your fingers can get going too fast on the keyboard, and even guys like me that actually have to spell it on a regular basis can mess it up. So if you can't get a hold of me, that could be why. All right, skipping on down here. What do we got going on? We've got, in some more local news, we've got more items showing up from the tsunami. And the latest thing is this dock that came to be out there on the coast near Forks. And some of you probably have heard about it, some probably haven't. But they aren't sure, as far as I know at this point, they aren't sure whether or not it's from the tsunami or from somewhere more localized, that is just a piece of a dock that got away. Why are they concerned about it? One, they're concerned about radiation. Two, and probably the more concerning thing, is that they're concerned about what kind of species of growth they have on it. Okay, there's and you may come across this going into like California, where they won't let you take fruit across the border because they don't want your apple to have a bug that their apples don't have, and then you cause a blight and through their whole growing stock. You don't want that. Same type of situation. If we don't have critters over here that have been growing over there, and they've come across, and maybe they flourish over here, and not only do they flourish, but they flourish while eating some of our critters. Well, that will throw an ecosystem off pretty darn quick, and they've come to realize that. And so, you also see a lot of times some boats are required to have cleaning done on the bottoms before they go to certain areas, because what's growing on the bottom of your boat now versus what's growing on the bottom of your boat if you go to, say, Alaska or down south to California, it's different. And they don't want whatever you've got here to catch on down there and become an issue. So they're really trying to figure out and understand what's coming over here, what kind of growth it has on it, and make sure that all of our ecosystems stay in their perfect little status that they're in now, or probably in a more perfect status than what they're in now. But anyways, they don't want to upset it any more than we already are doing. All right, so you got this dock that comes across. It's spotted by a fishing boat. It was spotted out about 16 miles off the coast. If it's that far out, it probably is coming from across an ocean somewhere. But you never do know. Things could be coming just down from South Central Alaska as opposed to across the ocean from Japan. So one thing I wanted to mention, they are trying to track this debris, and they know where quite a bit of it is, and I believe I read on there they figured 5 million tons of debris ended up coming out of the, coming offshore. Roughly 70% of that sunk pretty quickly, but then there's still the other 30% that's out drifting about. So if you happen to see something that you think that you reasonably suspect is tsunami debris, they want you to send an email and let them know. I would give them a position where you sighted it, roughly. I mean, if you're half mile from it and you have your GPS position, I think that's probably good enough. Maybe what direction the wind was traveling or the current was traveling at that particular juncture, and what it is, maybe a rough size. Send that information to disasterdebris@noaa.gov. NOAA is spelled NOAA.gov. So you can see more information on that article, as well as get that email address, if you get on boatersresourcecenter.com. Remember, Boaters Resource Center is one of our sponsors. Love their website to death. It's probably, if it's not the most informational, it's probably the most informational website for Pacific Northwest boaters. You should get on there regardless of whether you're looking for this article. And if you are looking for the article, you'll be able to read the full article there as well as get that email address. So anyway, keep your eyes open and definitely keep your eyes open because you don't want to hit anything. But if you see something that looks like maybe it doesn't belong, I think you should probably tell somebody about it. So I'm sure you can call the U.S. Coast Guard as well on channel 16 or 22 Alpha if you want to report it via your VHF radio while you're out and about. So anyways, where are we going? Now, news across the country. News from across the country. I don't know how big a deal this is. I've seen it on a couple of postings. And so I thought, well, I think I will go ahead and mention it. And actually, I'm not only going to mention it, I want to kind of break down some decisions that were made during this whole event and see, you know, I'm happy to have your feedback. Or again, trig@seattleyachtmanagement.com. But I'm going to give my 2 cents worth here at the end of this. So for those of you who haven't heard, there was a 64-foot Hatteras motor yacht that went aground in Florida, and it was just off of the beach. They were trying to come into St. Augustine Inlet. As many of you know, I've done some boating in that area. I'm not familiar with this just from what I gathered reading the articles and doing a little bit of research. St. Augustine Inlet can change quite a bit between the Gulf Stream just out in the main water out in front, as well as the wind waves, etc. They can end up, and the shallow water on top of it, they can end up with that channel changing shape quite a bit. It does not sound like, it sounds like they've done some recent dredging, as well as the fact that there is no indication that they were in the middle of the channel and that's what caused this situation. But this Hatteras went aground, and what it was attributed to in the article, and again it didn't go into huge great detail, but what it was attributed to was dense fog, sea conditions, and complications with the radar. Now, so just a little backstory here, and kind of to carry on with the story. Once they ran aground, it sounded like they ran aground, and then they either floated off or started drifting. They put down the anchor, and at some point, the anchor, according to the article, broke loose from the boat. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me that you would break an anchor loose from the boat. It would make more sense that the anchor would break loose from the bottom, but I didn't see an anchor line going over the bow on the pictures I saw while it sat on the beach, and that is what the article said. So I'm going to guess that maybe there was some error there as well. But anyways, fortunately no one was hurt, but the boat did end up shoreside in a less than stellar manner, and so it ends up sitting on the beach. Also, fortunately, the boat didn't leak any fuel. The fuel was low enough in the tanks that it didn't run out, and it didn't seem to be causing any environmental issues. So those are all really good things. But I wanted to kind of break down this story, and again, it's all coming from a news article, and I don't know what your feeling is on that, but I know that my feeling is there can be a lot of skewed information and different translations there. But based on the story, I wanted to kind of break down what was going on. One thing, and it really it pertains to nothing, but one thing is the captain was female, and that's getting a huge buzz in the media right now, at least online from what I I'm reading, and it's kind of probably pulling female captains into a bad light in general, because I think it's kind of one of those yeah, that's why we don't have female captains, and that's kind of the feeling that it seems like it's taking on. I honestly don't think one way or the other it matters. I think that a male captain with the same experiences is going to probably make very similar decisions. That being said, I don't happen to know this female captain, but is it an issue? I don't think so. Again, it's unfortunate. It's kind of painting female captains, which there aren't many of, in an unflattering light. The second thing is, what do complications with the radar mean? Is it unfamiliarity with that particular type or style or manufacturer? Or was there a malfunction? What are complications? You can have something freeze up on you, and that's a complication. Or you can go, where's the zoom button on this thing? And that's a complication. Three, what time, when did this all occur? Because they're listing three things, the fog, the sea conditions, and the radar complications as being kind of the main problems. I don't think, based on my experiences, that the seas picked up at the exact same time that the fog set in and the exact same time that the radar had complications and everything just went wrong at exactly the same time and bam, we're aground. And the bottom just happened to be there right then. I don't think that happened. Next thing, with all that said, what's the alternative? We can't complain and we definitely can't judge because we weren't there. But we can break down this scenario and say, if this is the situation, how do we handle it? How do we come up with a solution? My two cents worth, of course, remembering that I wasn't there. That captain made the decision based on her experiences and her knowledge of and actually sitting in that situation as the events unfolded. I'm not going to make a judgment, but I do want to break this down because I want everybody else to be safe in the future and kind of have this in the back of their mind and go, well, this is what happened. And if it happened to me, this is how I'd want it to, or how I would treat it. Now, I want to bring up a couple more points just of, hey, we don't know about this. With many of the new radar systems, you end up with, it's a complete system. It's a multifunction system. It's GPS and radar and depth sounder, so on and so forth, all stacked up on one. So if there was an issue with the radar, which is what was mentioned, it could have created a problem with the GPS. Did that happen? We don't know. So if the GPS was functioning, my question would be, what was the issue with the radar? If my GPS is functioning, I can tell exactly where I'm at on a map in relation to buoys and land masses, etc., within a little ways. The radar obviously is a redundancy for that, and it says, oh yeah, here's the buoy that you're looking at there, here's the buoy you're looking at here on your charts, and so on and so forth. But obviously, your chart plotter, your GPS, cannot tell you where other boats are. So anyway. So if you've got all these conditions stacking up against you, you've got radar issues, you've got fog setting in or that has set in, and that's probably the case. It was probably foggy to start with. And you've got sea conditions, which again, you were already up against those. Now down there in Florida, you can get some nasty situations going on because you've got currents that flow pretty hard when you've got an incoming or outgoing tide because they're coming off of a real shallow area and going into a deep area. So you're moving a lot of water at a high velocity. It isn't deep water, but it's created the shallow shelf creates a higher velocity. That higher velocity, it's going against the wind, can really stack the waves up. So it can change, but chances are pretty good that it was rough to start with, or, you know, presumably that captain knew what she was up against. But if you've got these situations stacking up against you, I feel like it would be prudent, if I'm in that situation, I would say, whoa, time out. We're not going to cross a bar or go into a shallow area when I've got electronics that are down and I need them because I've got a foggy situation and the water's beating me up. I'm going to pull off and I'm going to say, hey, we're going to go sit out here and stand by in deeper water, maybe calmer water, and wait until something changes. Maybe we fix the radar, or we understand the radar readout better, or the fog lifts, or maybe if it's a current situation that we're fighting because of the, and that's what's creating the waves and the rough water, maybe that's what we're waiting to have change. That's my feeling on it. That's how I feel like I would handle it in that situation. Again, I'm not sure what all the circumstances were happening at that exact minute. And there are certain times when turning around is not an option. I've been in places where turning around is the difference between you staying, at least you're uncomfortable, but at least you're staying upright. And if you turn around, you're going to be upside down and uncomfortable. So there are situations where turning around isn't an option. But I feel like part of my job as a captain and your job as a captain is to read those situations and say, this is the decision that we need to make for us, because that's what's going to be best for the boat, the crew, me. Got to stay, you know, staying alive and staying afloat. Those are the things, those are on the forefront of your mind as a captain. So maybe if they had waited till they had a better bearing on things, this may have been avoided. Again, we can't make that decision based on the information we have. And what difference does it make now? The difference that we can make out of this now is that now we know, or we at least have their experience, and we can go, oh, well, if this is how it went in my head, this is what I would do. And so my hope by having this discussion is that you and I will be able to, and probably them, will be able to reflect back and ensure that we're making those good decisions for our boats and ourselves. And keep in mind that we have to learn from others' mistakes as well as ours. Because if we don't, all we're doing is devolving, and it won't be long before our boats turn into submarines and we go the way of the dodo bird, right? So we just want to make sure that everybody out there is being as safe as they can. And safety is all about being prepared. And if you've got if you're prepared and you have all those things in line, chances are pretty good you won't have to use them. But should you have to use those decision-making skills or use those life-saving techniques, it goes seamlessly. So, you know, really, you know, I hope that nobody takes anything negative from this discussion, but they take a lot of positive from it, in that you are able to reflect back and say, yep, I've been in a situation where I'd have done things different, and this is why. Make sure that you're learning from any experience that isn't as stellar as you want it to be. All right, we're going to be back in a couple minutes after a little bit of business here on Boat Talk, 1180 AM Play Radio.
Is there a birthday or anniversary in your future? Here's an idea. A luxury yacht cruise. What's more inviting than being on a private yacht in an intimate setting with your friends and family? Imagine cruising Alaska, Puget Sound, the Gulf Islands, whales, glaciers, fishing and bears, hiking and exploring breathtaking sights. It's all yours on Viaggio Charters Luxury Vacation Cruises. Oh, and the food? Gourmet foods prepared by private chefs. Experience luxury with Viaggio Charters. See them at viaggiocharter.com.
Honey, grab a jacket and a camera because we're going on a guided sightseeing tour with Captain Tom at Destiny Harbor Tours.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Destiny Harbor Tours offers cruises for parties of four or more from Gig Harbor or Tacoma. We'll see lots of sea life up close. We'll learn about local history and the ecology of Puget Sound. You know, Captain Tom has restored Navy boats are licensed by the U.S. Coast Guard. We're going on a real adventure.
I've got my jacket and camera, and I'm ready.
Find out more at DestinyHarborTours.com.
It's time to have your boat serviced so it's ready to hit the water. Now, if you own a wooden boat, Dunbar Marine is the area's specialist. Dunbar Marine has been in business 52 years, taking care of wooden boat repair, restoration, and maintenance. Roy Dunbar even encourages you to work right alongside him during repairs to really get to know your boat up close. Everything from minor to major, Dunbar Marine. See what I'm talking about at DunbarMarine.com.
Skippers, are you looking for something marine-related? Chances are good you'll find it at BoatersResourceCenter.com, a one-stop interactive website featuring products, services, and information frequently used by Pacific Northwest boaters. Destinations, live Doppler, free NOAA charts, and much more are just a click away. Need a good story to curl up with? BoatersResourceCenter.com offers articles by well-known authors and showcases over 240 marine companies. BoatersResourceCenter.com, a portal to Pacific Northwest cruising. Watch us grow.
Welcome back to Boat Talk. I'm your host, Captain Trigg. Glad to have everybody back with me. Remember, you can send me an email if you don't like what I said or if you do like what I said. I really want to hear about it. Either way, Trigg@SeattleYachtManagement.com. Make sure that you're being vocal with me and letting me know how to best serve you here on this radio show. That's what it's all about. All right, at the beginning of the show, I promised you gift ideas for the captain in your life. These are last-minute gift ideas. Anybody can go out and snag them. Easy to do. One of the things that I really think is a great gift idea that's easy to do, don't even have to leave the house, is buy your captain or whoever your boating person is a navigation app. You can go with ENC, Navionics. There's handfuls of them out there, and they're fairly inexpensive. You're talking about a maximum of about, you know, I would say a max of $100 if you buy multiples of the same app, different areas maybe. So whoever you've got in your life, if they are using if they're using any kind of electronic to navigate by, maybe buying them a navigation app would be a great gift for them. Second thing, fairly inexpensive, a little bit more expensive than the navigation app, a good set of binoculars. 7x50s are probably the best binoculars type to get, just because you can't, with any of the stronger powers, you have a tough time holding still while you're on a boat. 7x50s, they're pretty standard size. They're almost everybody carries them. They're usually the least expensive because they're the most prominent ones out there, I think. And everybody can use a good set of binoculars. Next thing, chart books. If you're looking for something very inexpensive, you can go right on to NOAA's chart website and print off a little chart booklet. And if you've got a decent printer at home, you can do it in full color right there, or you can take it down to your local print shop and even have them do a little bit of binding on it. I'm having some of this done myself for some other purposes, but it's fairly inexpensive. Again, you're talking about 50 cents for a color printout per page, and these are a 20-page booklet roughly, and then a few bucks for binding. So it's fairly inexpensive. For $20, you can have a decent little chart booklet that'll fit in a binder and be easy to carry around. Last thing I'm going to mention, nice clock barometer set for the boat. They range in price, and they're always classy looking. So if your captain doesn't have one on his boat, might be something he'd enjoy. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Enjoy any sunshine we get, and have a safe boating week. Merry Christmas and happy holidays.